And it's now time for Health Matters right here on Noongar Radio, coming to you from the studios of Noongar Radio here in Perth. And today we're talking about injury prevention on Health Matters for today. And the guests joining me in the studio, well, they include Russ Milner, he's from the Department of Health. Lauren Nimmo, she's from the Royal Life Saving Society of WA. Rachel Mead, she's from the Injury Control Council of WA, and Scott Phillips, and he's from KidSafe WA. And yeah, I suppose going from my left, which is your left at home on the radio, is Russ Milner. Tell us a little bit about yourself there, Russ.
Sure, Jeff, thanks. As you said, I work for the Department of Health Western Australia as a Senior Policy Officer for Injury Prevention. Collectively, we're working towards statewide prevention of injuries in the community, and I'm born and bred in Western Australia.
Okay, and Lauren.
Hi, thanks for having me. As you mentioned, I'm from Royal Life Saving and look after all of the health promotion and research projects. And we really look to empower the community to be safe when they're in, on or around the water, and really look to lead efforts to reduce the impact of drowning on our community as a whole.
And Rachel, tell us about yourself.
Yeah,
and a little bit closer to the microphone.
So I'm the Injury Prevention Manager at the Injury Control Council of Western Australia, or ICWA as we're commonly referred to, and we focus on preventing injury and supporting recovery in Western Australia.
And finally, Scott from KidSafe WA. Tell us the Scott story.
I'm the CEO at KidSafe WA, so our mission at KidSafe WA is to make sure that children under 15 don't die or become disabled from, you know, common injuries and accidents that happen to them.
And I suppose, yeah, let's get in with the questions. And so, Scott, if you could recommend just one thing to parents to minimise the risk of injury to their child, what would that be?
Well, active supervision, and we like to say active because it's not just being around your children, but it's make sure that you're paying attention to your children. The biggest injury rates in our state are really for kids under 5 years old, so our little ones. So it's really important that we're actively supervising them, and that means not looking at your phone while you're looking after them, so around water, around home, and particularly around traffic.
Mm. Yeah, and Lauren, did you want to add something in here?
Exactly. Scott's exactly right. We see the most common factor that contributes to drowning in particular, but also generally child injury, is a lack of supervision or a lapse in that supervision. And often these instances occur in the short period of time where supervision, or parents might be distracted from supervision, whether they're answering or making phone calls, making a meal, supervising other children. So that active and constant supervision within arm's reach is a really important thing for parents to be aware of and to do to prevent injuries amongst their children.
Yeah. Can you hear your child drown? Bit of a morbid question.
It is a little bit. It's a bit of a misconception that you will hear a child when they're drowning. They'll be splashing and making a lot of noise, so you'll be able to go and intervene and save them. But the reality is that drowning happens very quickly. And it is silent. It's not accompanied with children crying out or splashing around in the water, as many people think. So parents really do need to, as we mentioned, have that active and close supervision so that they can see when the child gets into trouble and then can intervene and pull them out to safety.
Yeah, and it looks like I may have got an extra page ahead of you guys, but can I bring Russ into this question? Can you tell us the part WA Health provides in injury prevention?
Sure, Jeff. The Department of Health provides an overarching strategy for safety promotion and injury prevention in the community.
Might get you a bit closer to that microphone.
Sorry, hopefully everyone can hear me. Yeah. Injuries are a leading cause of death and hospitalisation, yet they are very much preventable. The Department of Health strives to provide better health for all Western Australians, but we all have a role to play in keeping each other safe and enjoying all that life has to offer. Injuries can happen very, very quickly, but they can be prevented by looking after your mates and doing what you can to keep everybody safe. The Department of Health provides funding to non-government organisations to support the strategy through the delivery of health promotion programs, and it's great to be here today with some of our partners, Jeff.
Yeah, and one of those is Scott from KidSafe WA. Now, can you tell us what are some of the common injuries we see in kids?
Well, so just to start with that, just so that people know what we're about, there's still in WA 27 children per year dying from an accident, and we have up to 20,000 children going to emergency departments because of those accidents. So the most of those will happen in the child's own home, and it really happens to our little ones. So that can be from falls, that can be from drowning, that can be from things in the backyard, playing on a trampoline. But the other point that we like to make is the most of our children who are dying are either from drowning or around roads, so whether they're in a car or a pedestrian. So it's really important that we make sure they travel safe and that they're safe around vehicles.
And I suppose getting back to you there, Lauren, now we talked a bit about keeping an eye on children around water, and I suppose, and you mentioned that parents may get distracted where they have to answer the phone or check on their other child or whatever. Now, in the bath, can you use a bath seat or bathing aid to help out there?
Yeah, look, many parents use these types of bath seats and bath aids to assist them when they're, you know, bathing their children. We do see bathtubs as the second highest location where children do drown. So it is really important that supervision is maintained even when they're in the bath. And using these bath seats or bath aids are no substitute for that supervision. They don't actually prevent the child from climbing or falling out of the seat and getting into trouble and immersed in the water. So parents really need to be aware that while they're a really good aid to assist with bathing your child, they're no substitute for supervising, so they need to maintain that as well.
Yeah. I suppose what else can people do to prevent their child from drowning?
Like Scott and I've mentioned, supervision is the most effective way to prevent a child from getting into trouble when they're in, on or around the water. But we know as parents that you can't supervise your children at all times, so it is really important to make sure that you have other things in place, such as barriers, home pool fencing, make sure that they're in good working order after winter in preparation for summer. Enroll their children in water familiarisation classes from a young age so that they get the necessary skills and confidence in the water, and also make sure they learn resuscitation so that if something does happen, they know what to do in that situation.
And this is Health Matters here on Noongar Radio here in Perth. We'll take a musical break. I'm going to hear from the Old Flames Band. I like that.
One is Madeline, manager of all the girls. One night by the catwalk, I spotted him through the crowd. And after slowly checking him out, I shyly turned around. And I whispered softly to myself. I
And that's the Old Flames Band here on Health Matters. I like that. And today we're talking about injury prevention. And our guests in the studio today, they are Russ Milner from the Department of Health, Lauren Nimmo, she's from the Royal Life Saving Society of WA, Rachel Mead, she's from the Injury Control Council of WA, and Scott Phillips, he's from KidSafe WA, here in the studio. Now, Rachel, I'm going to bring you in on this one now. Can you tell us about the work of the Injury Control Council?
Yeah, our mission at the Injury Control Council is that children and adults enjoy a life uninterrupted by injury, and we work towards this by providing programs and services that focus on preventing injury and supporting recovery. We offer a range of programs, but the Stay On Your Feet program is relevant to discuss today. Stay On Your Feet is WA's falls prevention program for adults living in the community, and we educate community members how they can keep active and alert to prevent slips, trips and falls through our Move, Improve and Remove campaigns. Stay On Your Feet is looking more at older people. We want people to remain healthy and independent so they can get on with doing the things that they enjoy. Unfortunately, Jeff, 1 in 4 people over the age of 60 and 1 in 3 people over the age of 65 will fall each year, with some resulting in serious injury. And the thing is, falls don't have to be a normal part of getting older. Despite what many people think, falls are preventable. Uneven and slippery surfaces can often lead to a fall. However, there are other causes that you might not have thought of, like poor balance, weakened leg strength, poor eyesight, unsafe footwear, as well as hazards in the home and garden. But the good news is that there's simple things that people can do to prevent slips, trips and falls.
So, Rachel, what are some of the things that we can do to prevent these falls?
Yeah, Jeff, there's 3 things we'd like people to do. Move your body, improve your health and remove hazards. So these are 3 steps to keep active and alert to prevent slips, trips and falls. So move your body by improving your balance and strengthening your legs. This will make your muscles and bones stronger, improve your fitness as well as your well-being. Simple balance and strengthening exercises can be done in the comfort of your own home or by visiting a group exercise session at your local leisure or community centre each week. Improve your health, and this includes your body and your mind. You want to keep your brain active so that you increase your reaction times and stay nice and alert. Fuel your body by eating regular meals with healthy food from all the food groups. And if you're taking multiple tablets, check that you're getting the most out of your medicines to reduce the side effects by speaking to your doctor. And finally, remove hazards. We want people to feel confident that they can adapt to their surroundings and remove hazards that can prevent falls. Making your home safer, getting your eyes checked and wearing safe shoes are all ways of removing hazards and will help you get on with enjoying time with your family and friends.
Yeah, and I suppose, say if the worst happens, we do have a fall.
What can you do? It's not always possible to predict if you have a fall, how and where you might land. A great way to reduce the risk of injury is to create an action plan. So to help reduce injury, think ahead and make a plan what you can do if you do have a fall. Stay On Your Feet has free resources which can show you how to get up off the floor. It's always a good idea to speak with your health worker or doctor and practice getting up off the floor with them in a safe environment. And you can access free resources from the Stay On Your Feet website or by contacting us to get a copy of these resources to help you get up off the floor. And finally, if you do have a fall, it's important to let someone know, such as a family member or a friend and a GP. Falls don't always result in serious injury, but you can often be left with bumps and bruises, and it's important to treat all injuries, including cuts and scrapes, and if necessary, visit your doctor.
Yeah. And this is Health Matters here on Noongar Radio, and today we're talking about injury prevention. We'll take a musical break and we'll be back with more. Mm-hmm. Jones from too long ago, I can't remember. Everlasting Love was the name of that song. And this is Health Matters. Today we're talking about injury prevention and lots of handy tips so far and things to look out for. And joining us in the studio, guests for today include Russ Milner from the Department of Health, Lauren Nemo, she's from the Royal Life Saving Society of WA, Rachel Mead from the Injury Control Council of WA, and Scott Phillips from KidSafe WA. Now, Scott, let's talk about road safety, and can we talk about child car restraints?
Yes, Jeff, this is an area that's quite confusing sometimes for people because we see these laws change quite often. But right now there are some laws around how children travel in cars, which we support because, like I said before, that's one of the biggest places that children will be killed or injured. So right now, if your child's 6 months or under, they need to be in a rearward-facing restraint with a 6-point harness, and we would recommend that you keep them in that type of restraint as long as you can. So some of the new restraints will let you stay there for up to 2 years. When they are about to turn around, then we still need them in from 6 months to 4 years. They need to be in a 6-point harness, but they can be forward-facing now. But they still need to be in that type of restraint. And from 4 to 7, they need to be in that booster seat, still in a restraint. If they can still fit in with one with a 4-point harness or 5-point harness, then that's just as good. At 7, they can come out of the restraints, but we still recommend stay there as long as you can. A lot of kids like the comfort of them. There's a little bit more protection there. And really, you shouldn't be sitting in a seat belt until your feet can touch the ground and your knees are over the front of the seat and that the seat belt fits you properly.
So, handy tips there. Now, as we're hearing about driveway safety, children being injured as well, tell us a little bit more what we can do to prevent that happening.
Well, I think we've talked a lot about active supervision today, but it's really knowing where your children are. We're starting to see some children be run over by cars, and I think we're starting to rely a little bit on our cameras. But cameras don't... Little ones move very quickly, so you might see them, but you may not be able to stop. So what we say is that you need to look where your children are before you leave. Check around your car and make sure you know that they've been supervised before you start backing out. Sometimes it is the little ones trying to run around and get in the back of the car because dad's driving out. So just make sure that their play areas are separated from driveways and that you know where they are when you start to back out. And if you don't, just check behind your car because they can hide very well too.
Yeah, and Rachel, and so you might have something to add to this topic as well.
Yeah, Jeff, while there have been improvements in road safety over the years, road crashes are a leading cause of death in Australia. And when a crash occurs, not only the person involved is affected, but the whole community can be affected by a road crash. So at the Injury Control Council, we provide the Road Trauma Support Service, which offers free counselling services and resources for people who are affected by road trauma. And if people want information about that free service, they can contact us or visit the Road Trauma Support website on www.rtswa.org.au.
And so it's coming into summer now. How about the topic of hot cars and children?
Yeah, this is another one that's we've started to see a bit of a spike on people leaving their children in cars. And what we need to let people know is that even if your windows are down a little bit, the temperature in a car is 30 degrees higher than outside at any given time. So that takes about 15 minutes to warm up, but within 5 minutes, most of that heat's there. So little bodies dehydrate very quick, and children left in cars can be in danger very quickly. So never leave your children in cars. If you need to run some errands and you need to take them with you, you really do need to take the child out of the car because it does... That 2-minute run in to get the newspaper sometimes, you bump into someone, quickly turns into that 15 minutes, and we see a lot of children in danger in cars. And I'll say also, elderly people, same thing, and pets. So we shouldn't be leaving anybody in cars in our environment. Doesn't matter if it's under a tree, doesn't matter if it's in the shade, the temperature in the car is much higher.
And I suppose children and I suppose adults as well like their bikes, scooters and skateboards. Yes, I've seen a grown man using a skateboard the other day. About roads, keeping them safe as well.
Yep.
Kids and no matter who.
Well, what we're seeing, too, is we're starting to see a bit of an increase in pedestrians. So, you know, we've got so many different things to ride on now. You know, there's hoverboards, there's scooters, there's skateboards. Again, it's about making sure you're in safe environments, you're aware of the traffic, and there's safety gear to wear. And we still see some, particularly teenagers, not wanting to wear all the safety gear. But what I would say, if you look at any of the top people who do these Red Bull stunts and, you know, Tony Hawks and people like that, they've always got helmets and knee guards and things on, and they look pretty cool.
And this is Health Matters here on Noongar Radio. We're talking about injury prevention. And I suppose, we'll talk a little bit more about being safe around water, and it just so happens, here's the Ramones, and they're at Rockaway Beach.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Ramones, Rockaway Beach, and we're talking about injury prevention today here on Health Matters. And speaking of beaches, Lauren Nimmo from the Royal Lifesaving Society of WA is one of the guest speakers for today. Now, Lauren, I know that the Royal Lifesaving Society has some great information about swim and survive. What are the key messages you want to tell us all about today?
Look, our Swim and Survive program is our Learn to Swim program that's run through a vast network of indoor swim schools throughout the state. And it really gives children the opportunity to not only learn swimming strokes and swimming skills, but also gives them the skills to be able to participate in a range of aquatic activities, and also gives them the skills to do that safely. So it teaches them how to swim, but also how to be safe when they're in and around the water. Really, we believe that teaching children these personal swimming and survival skills and water safety is the most important investment that any parent or community can make really in reducing drowning amongst children. We do see a very low rate of drowning in children aged sort of 5 to 14. However, there have been two instances over the last couple of months with young children unfortunately drowning, and many more being hospitalised as well. So giving them the opportunity to learn these skills ongoing, not just through school programs, but really getting them engaged in these programs on an ongoing basis is very important. We do know that there are certain groups in the community that don't typically access these programs, people from low socioeconomic areas, people that are newly arrived to Western Australia, and also some Aboriginal families don't typically access some of our traditional swimming and surviving programs. So we actually have a Swim and Survive Fund where we fundraise money from the WA community to provide, I guess, subsidies for those parents or families that may not be able to afford to enrol their children in these lessons regularly. So I'd really encourage people to enrol their child in Swim and Survive. But if there are barriers, monetary barriers, head to our website and check out for the Swim and Survive Fund. It's a very easy application process and would really encourage families that might be struggling to get some information and apply for that fund.
And what about when our audience is a little older? Perhaps might include myself in this category. Do you have any messages for adult water safety?
Yeah, look, the messages for adult water safety really centre around alcohol safety, boating safety and fishing safety. Alcohol we see is a key factor that contributes to drowning, particularly in that young adult males, so late adolescence through to early adulthood, 15 to 24 years of age. And I think people are really aware of the dangers of drinking and driving, but perhaps don't see the same dangers when they think about drinking and swimming or participating in aquatic activities. And I guess the message from us is very clear that alcohol and water don't mix. So if you are planning on participating in activities in or around the water, don't drink. And if you are drinking, try and refrain from doing those activities. Knowing your limits and how alcohol affects your body is really important, and they are magnified when you are on the water. And I think you speak to a lot of young people and they've experienced when their friends have maybe gotten into trouble after a few drinks, thought they could swim over a river, but perhaps have been a bit impaired by the number of drinks that they've had. So Russ mentioned before, looking after your mates is a really big message that we give, particularly to young people around the water. And boating safety has really emerged as, I guess, one of the key activities that we're seeing people getting into trouble, whether it's changing weather conditions, they're not prepared, don't have the right safety equipment, and majority of people aren't wearing a life jacket. So when they do enter the water, their chances of survival are reduced if they're not wearing one of those life jackets. So life jackets are really important, particularly for boating, but also for rock fishing as well.
Yeah, and I suppose that's a big one as well, they often hear of fishermen falling off rocks as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We have seen quite a large number of rock fishing deaths and people being hospitalised after injuring themselves from falling down the rocks. And it's not just inexperienced fishers that are getting into trouble. People that have fished for many years who might think that it won't happen to them or they know what to do in a situation, but the ocean can be very unpredictable. So people need to be aware of that and just take extra safety precautions when they are doing those sorts of activities.
Yeah, and maybe perhaps people, they go to the country and thought, oh, we might take a dip in the dam at
the
farm.
Exactly. We see a lot of drowning deaths and hospitalisations from a non-fatal drowning amongst people that are travelling, whether it's within the state or from interstate and internationally as well, where they might not be very familiar with the environment that they're actually participating in. They aren't aware of some of the risks that exist at those locations, particularly the inland waterways. And that's when they get into trouble because they don't know how to identify the risks and they don't know how to get themselves out of trouble as well. So they really need to be aware that they do exist and not underestimate the fact that it could happen to them.
Yeah, that's kind of like respect the river.
It is. It does sound a bit more like an environmental type program, but it's really about getting people to be aware of the risks and dangers around inland waterways. People, I guess, are very aware of the dangers around swimming at the beach or going out boating in the ocean, rip currents, those sorts of things. But they tend to be less aware of the risks at inland waterways like rivers, dams, creeks and streams. And we actually see more people drown at these locations than any other locations. So I guess our message to people is to realise and be aware that dangers do exist at these locations. They can appear quite flat and still on the surface and can give a bit of a false sense of security, I guess. But a lot of the dangers exist under the water, strong currents, submerged objects, those sorts of things. So people need to be aware of that and make sure they take the necessary precautions as well. The Respect the River campaign is a nationally run campaign, so we are really focusing on providing children with skills and teaching them how to swim and survive while they're in the Swan River. So we have that program running over the next couple of months over the summer period, and really gets the kids to experience those skills and practice those skills in an open water environment where it's not as controlled as a swimming pool, and gets them, I guess, a little bit more confident and used to swimming in those types of locations as well.
Yeah, and I suppose if you get used to swimming with jellyfish, you can swim almost anywhere with confidence.
It's not my favourite part of swimming in the river, but it is a beautiful place that we can take advantage of. And, you know, we really encourage people to get out and about and participate in activities on the water, because WA is perfect in terms of having beautiful beaches, some amazing rivers, and the weather that is very conducive to aquatic activities. So encouraging people to participate, but obviously consider their safety and the safety of their families as well.
And this is Health Matters, and we're talking about injury prevention today. There we go, that's Black Bella Music. Don't worry, just be happy. And you've got me, Jeff Michael, here on Health Matters. Today we're talking injury prevention with guests Russ Milner from the Department of Health, Lauren Nemo from the Royal Life Saving Society of WA, Rachel Maid from the Injury Control Council of WA, and Scott Phillips. He's from Kids Safe WA. And I suppose, Scott, one thing we should discuss again, and that's poisoning, trying to prevent that happening.
Yeah, so as we know, Jeff, little ones particularly, they like to explore with their mouth. So when they're really young, so everything goes in there. But over the last, probably last 20 years, we're starting to see some things that come along that we can't just wait for them to pass through anymore, because some of these are quite dangerous. So now, as everything's getting smaller and smaller, we're putting smaller and smaller batteries in. So recently we've had a spike of deaths around Australia, and very bad injuries from people swallowing button batteries. And they're those little round disc batteries. And they get caught, if they get caught on the way through, they actually form an acid. And you can imagine what something forming an acid does in your body. So we're having some fairly bad injuries. So really we're asking people to make sure they're disposing of these batteries properly and keeping them out of reach of young ones. Because even when they're not working in the remote control or your phone or your key ring anymore, they still have a charge in them and can still cause some damage. And I suppose the other thing that we need people to know is that when we talk about poisoning of children, the most common product is actually paracetamol, which is Panadols and Panadines and things like that. And the place that children are getting it from is when we put a handbag down or we leave them on the counter. So when they're rummaging through your girlfriend's handbag, they find these tablets, they see us take them, so they start ingesting them. And you can imagine a little body with a lot of Panadol in, that's not a good mix.
Yeah, I suppose they might even think, oh, it's lollies or something like that.
Yeah, and there are a lot of drugs and lollies, and you put them together, it's hard to tell the difference. So we have to really make sure that we're still keeping things up high and away from our children that we know. And, you know, alcohol. If a little one sees somebody drinking from a bottle and we put it down and walk away, they're going to copy and try and do the same thing. So little bodies with alcohol don't go well either.
Yeah, and I suppose, Rachel, you wanted to talk a bit about alcohol as well.
Yeah, just reiterating what Lauren and Scott have been saying, I guess, in terms of alcohol, it is a major contributor to injury in WA across a variety of different injury areas. So it's with road crashes, violence, drowning, poisoning and falls. It is a significant contributor to people being hospitalised and, unfortunately, death. And I guess in WA, drinking can be seen as a very social thing. There's a culture of drinking, and it's important that we do restrict alcohol consumption in people, children under the age of 18. And we now have new laws around supply of alcohol. So the secondary supply laws mean that it is now illegal to supply alcohol to a child under the age of 18. And I guess in adults as well, we want to make sure that we're not drinking more than the daily limits on alcohol.
Yeah. And, yeah, this is Health Matters here on Noongar Radio. We're talking about injury prevention today. Sherbert just there. How's that? And I suppose people will be playing cricket during the summer, yelling that out every now and then. And this is Health Matters with me, Jeff Michael, and today we're talking about injury prevention. And I suppose one group of people who would like to see people not get injured, and that's school leavers. And yeah, I understand Rachel want to talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, look, it's coming to that time of year again when Year 12 school leavers will be heading to popular locations, Rottnest Island and Dunsborough, to celebrate the end of their schooling life and the finishing of their exams. But with that comes quite a high risk, particularly around road safety, alcohol consumption and water safety. So a lot of organisations come together to try and ensure that these school leavers have an enjoyable time. They do get that time to celebrate and enjoy themselves with their friends, but to make sure that they do it safely. And there's a range of activities that will be happening at the locations down in the southwest and over on Rottnest Island. And the main message that we will be trying to get across to school leavers is to enjoy themselves and not necessarily needing alcohol to be a part of their celebrations, around that binge drinking side of it too, but to look after their mates and to consider the impact that their actions during that week have on their life as well. So unfortunately, things that they do during Leavers Week can stay with them for a very long time after. So, it's a great time for young people to celebrate, but it's all about how they can do that safely.
Yeah, and I suppose you'd have some of your team out there in amongst the various places where school leavers would be.
Exactly. We've got a bunch of volunteers, young people who will be heading down to Dunsborough and over to Rottnest Island as part of, I guess, the statewide strategy with a range of other great community organisations to run events and activities. Our biggest one is the Meal Up Beach Party, which happens down in Dunsborough. Last year we had 5,000 school leavers attend. That's an alcohol and drug-free event. Everyone seemed to really enjoy them. themselves and they're very well catered for these days. There's lots for school leavers to do and to participate in to enhance, I guess, their time and celebrations as well. So we're looking forward to it. It's always a busy week, but it's a fun week.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Lauren. And Russ, I understand you've got something to add as well.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, I'd just like to reiterate the message that I started with at the top of the program, where I talked about community safety and injury prevention being everyone's responsibility. Injuries are preventable. I guess that's what all of us here in the studio today have tried to get across to the listeners. And they can affect people across the whole life course. So we've talked today about babies and drowning and stuff like that. We've talked about kids. We've talked about young adults with alcohol. And we've talked all the way through to older adults with falls prevention. Injuries can happen to all of us, Jeff. We talked about looking after your mates. When we say that, we want people to understand that it's not just your friendship group, your mates. Your mates can be your children, your brothers, your sisters, your parents, your grandparents. It's about looking after the people in the community and the people around you that you want to keep safe. We often tell our kids, you know, be careful, be safe. And as we grow up, the voices that were our parents' voices become our own voice in our own head. We really need to listen to that voice in our head and make sure that we're doing what we can to be careful and be safe. And what we've tried to let our listeners know today is that there's programs and there's products that are available to help people make those safe choices. As an individual, be brave and be a leader. Take pride in being able to keep those people safe, and you'll be amazed at the good work you can do in your community. Each of us here today have websites where further information is available. Myself from the Department of Health Western Australia, we have the Healthy WA website, and the other guys here also have other websites that they might like to let our listeners know.
Yeah, and Rachel, have you got anything to let the listeners know about before we do go?
Yeah, all the information relating to the Road Trauma Support service as well as the Stay On Your Feet program can be found on the Injury Control Council website, which is www.iccwa.org.au.
And Lauren,
I guess final message is just to reiterate what Russ said. You know, injury prevention is everyone's business and everyone's responsibility. So for us at Raw Life Saving, particularly heading into summer, really encourage people to access our programs and resources and information so that they can stay safe and keep their families and friends safe when they're in on or around the water. So they can visit www.lifesavingwa.com.au to access any of that information.
Okay, and finally there, Scott.
Yeah, and the KidSafe WA website is kidsafewa.com.au. We have lots of information there on many different topics. We have some Aboriginal-specific information for all over the state and also from some multicultural groups. We have information there for them. But you can also come and visit us at KidSafe WA, and we have a safety demonstration house. We have people who will give you advice on childcare restraints and how to put them in your car, and we can even fit that for you.
Yeah, and yeah, thanks Scott, as well as Rachel, Lauren and Russ for joining us today here on Health Matters, and we've been talking about injury prevention, and Health Matters will be back again in a fortnight's time, so stay listening. Thank you. Stay safe. And I'll leave you with this song. It's from Donna Lewis, I Love You Always Forever.